Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Who Inspire. I'm Cynthia Pooler. My guest today is Megan Buchanan. And Megan and I talk a lot about determination and seeing something through. But there's a fine line between seeing something through and the courage to recognize when drive becomes self-harm. So the Olympics has done, has done a lot of stories about Simone Biles. And Megan, what's your take on what she's accomplished and what she's saying now?
Yeah, it's I think it's really interesting. I think we're all at a place in history where she's absolutely having the courage to come forward and stand up for her, mental health as an athlete, as a human being, as a really young person still. She's so young, even though she's accomplished so much. And I give her huge credit for having the courage to come forward. I think about this a lot, and especially when you're training for anything long term as well. You've got to know the difference between when you're, still building yourself and when that clicks over into actually harming yourself or overtraining. And I know that they said in the news it's listed as something called the twisties, and every gymnast knows what that is. Honestly, I actually have not searched yet what exactly that means, but I'm assuming it's something very well known within that field. And it's something where I'm going to guess, like, you're just all of a sudden, like, shook up. And if you go for it, you're going to hurt yourself. Like, you're not mentally where you need to be to compete at a top level. And the amount of pressure that is on these athletes to be super high functioning all the time is absolutely, astounding. And that is why they're in the Olympics. They are the best of the best, but they're also human. They are human beings. And, when I was on Everest, I've been lucky enough that most mountains that I have gone for, I've summited first attempt. And that's really lucky. And a lot of it's being prepared, picking the right, team, all these different things. But when I was on Everest and, the expedition was canceled right before, one of the things that did cross my mind is like, oh my gosh, all the people that follow me on this journey, on social media, all my friends and my family that have supported me so long, how are they going to feel about this? What are they going to think about this? And you have to get over that. And I get, me climbing Everest is more of a personal goal than me being an Olympic athlete. So it can't really be compared. But, it's something where I think nowadays, with everything that's come through, the importance of COVID and mental health, we've acknowledged so many things. Again, I think it's really brave of her to come forward and pull herself out before hurting herself.
So when somebody goes to those limits of pushing and pushing and pushing, is it the coaches that do that to the athletes, or is it the makeup of the athletes themselves?
Oh, again, such a good question. Of course it's a combination of both, because I think that to become an Olympic athlete or we can use this so broadly. There are people who, Silicon Valley, when you get to the upper echelon of executives in Silicon Valley is a good example. I know several of them. I actually dated one. And they are so driven. And all they do is work. And to the point where a lot of everything else in their life suffers. Home life. It's the same with, an Olympic athlete. They have to dedicate so much to it. And I think it's a part of the makeup of who they are. And I consider myself extremely driven and self-motivated. And I recently in my life, have realized that really all I do is work and then train. And you know, I take a lot of pride in my work, my day job, as a engineer. And I find myself, I think for the last 10 years, I work, you know, way over 40 hours a week. I work 60-hour weeks for 10 years now. And I am at a point in my life right now with work and all this is coming up where I'm willing to draw that boundary because I'm harming myself. I'm harming myself, my mental health, my mental energy, because I am burnt out. And companies right now expect employees to be working. That's an average. Like, well, you should be working, you know, 60 hours a week and not necessarily paying more. It's become an expectation. And I think that's part of our culture as well. And really just the industry that I've been in, engineering or software, I just see companies run people into the ground with those expectations. And it all comes back down to, though, you have to be able to monitor and police that for yourself. And that's really hard to do. And I can only imagine for an Olympic athlete, you know, again, needing to draw that line when you have so many sponsors and you've worked so hard, that's got to be extremely tough to do.
Now, they're saying that Simone Biles is the elite of the elite in gymnastics. But, you know, going back a number of years, Nadia Comaneci scored a perfect 10. I thought that Nadia Comaneci was like the epitome of success for a gymnast. Is that still the case? Are you... What's your opinion of that?
Well, I guess I'd have to know in like what and what ways do you mean? But I remember that. I remember watching the Olympics and getting so excited because I was a little kid. I was in gymnastics, and you actually look at her performance as a perfect 10. And now the gymnast nowadays, like that sport has leveled up. All sports have leveled up over and over and over, and they've gotten, you know, more complicated and stronger athletes with the amount of like training that's available. So at that time, yeah, I mean, it was, but today's standards, it would not be, I don't think it's even apples. It's not apples to apples at all.
Okay. Have you been following the Olympics this summer?
Some. Yeah, you know what? Honestly, I personally have not as much as I'm usually always so excited for the Olympics, but I have right now for me, I am dealing with a lot at work, you know, because I was gone for over two months. And so just getting back in and trying to get some roles and boundaries established for myself. And then I'm getting back into, you know, trying to figure out with COVID, I had another expedition moved. Carzon's Pyramid was moved to next year. And so really focusing in on Antarctica and Everest the following year. So, yeah, I get the highlights, but I absolutely did pay attention to when, you know, I heard about Simone dropping out, and because I did want to know more about it. And as many people, I think, out there that might be saying, I can't believe this. She's a top athlete. She should be able to pull it together. I think for every one person that's thinking that in their head, I think there's probably 20 people that are saying to themselves, maybe it's okay. I don't drive myself into the ground and hurt myself. And I think that that message is so incredibly important. Because again, you know, I think when I was on Everest, I really had that breakthrough moment of finally feeling good enough to myself. And, you know, that driven personality, we're never good enough for ourselves. Climbing Everest wasn't good enough, in my opinion. I was looking at climbing Lhotse with it, and I really had to dig deep and had conversations with myself about what point will I be good enough for myself? Because if I keep going like this, I am going to hurt myself. And so, you know, this is just such a timely issue coming up that just parallels my personal like life and who I am. And I think about that too with work. I work those hours because I know I can get it done. I know I can do the work right. And there is so much work to do. It is hard for me personally to say to my management or my company, I can't do that. Like, that is something that is not in my fiber to say. But, you know, there has to be working 60-hour weeks sustainable for 10 years. And whoever can do it, God bless you. But, yeah, but, I mean, I do have other stuff that I really want to focus on in my life. And it shouldn't have to be all working. And honestly, not getting, you know, compensated for it. But the reason I do it is because I know I can, and I want to prove myself. I want to be good enough, but I'm hurting myself. And so, you know, having to set those boundaries with your company and your higher ups and saying to them, you know, maybe I can do it, but I'm not going to do it at 60 hours a week anymore. For the rest of the year, I'm working 40 hours a week. And we're going to see how it goes. And that is extremely difficult to do and say as a very driven person.
So I had heard that Simone would work out where she had just injured herself in some way. So the idea of training and working out when you are injured, good. It harms you rather than enhances you. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think in that case you have got to, and they do, like gymnasts I know have, you know, they've got doctors and the best of the best working with them, and you have to be extremely careful. And that's like a reason why when I have an expedition coming up, I stop pushing myself. You back off a little because you don't want to risk injury right before you go. It's a strategic thing. I was actually listening to a mountain biker, Olympic mountain biker, and, you know, and I mountain bike and I fall all the time. And a year before last, I fell and really ruined my knee. And I was like, oh gosh, this might take me out of Carson's Pyramid. But they were asking him, how do you train and not, you know, but not crash that you'd break something and take you out of the Olympics? And he was talking about how it's a really calculated thing you have to do. You're pushing yourself, but you can't push yourself too much. So then when you are injured, I mean, that's the biggest thing. You just want to try to not risk injury. But when you are injured, then it's a whole another ballgame. And the thing you should be focusing on the most is the recovery and getting back on your feet as soon as possible. And I think, you know, different injuries mean different things. But, yeah, I mean, they really take the chance of being taken out completely for something they've worked hard for their entire lives.
Right.
And that's part of the risk, I think. Yeah.
Once you know that you can go into the Olympics, compete with athletes from other parts of the world, that's really a heady kind of experience. And to be at that level and to admit that maybe something's not in sync, I would think that would be a hard thing to do. And I think what Simone did was very brave. She said, you know, this is not the right time. So from your understanding, you know, we're talking sponsors with mega bucks. So
For sure.
It's hard.
And this, this is what, in the Olympics, it's not like also, it's not every year you get another shot. You know, this is every 4 years, and especially for Olympic athletes, you know, she's already in her 20s. So she'll be 4 years older, which is ancient for a gymnast. And to put your body through that another 4 years is insane. You know, also the bigger picture is we do have to look at the bigger picture of how many medals that girl has already, woman has already won. And how much she has done already for this, representing our country. And again, I just think it is absolutely amazing that she knows her body enough, she knows what the situation is to make that call. And for any, if there is any sponsor that wants to drop her because of that, first of all, I think they will meet ridicule. But then there are plenty of sponsors that I'm sure would pick her up for having the strength to you know, set that boundary and not hurt herself. And so I, you know, I do hope that being so brave that she is rewarded for that courage.
So would you say that she might be setting a precedent in doing what she did?
I think so, and I hope so. When I was in rehab for I completely broke the head off my femur and shattered it in a snowboarding accident 10 years ago, And I think I've shared that story. I was told I'd have a cane or a wheelchair the rest of my life. And that's one of the big reasons I created Grit and climbing the seven summits, because I worked tirelessly to get that mobility back. So I was in rehab for about 2 years. And I was in, Vail, Colorado, next to professional athletes come there to get their surgeries because, you know, the orthopedic surgeons were some of the best in the world. And so the rehab there, I was in rehab next to Lindsey Vonn. I was in rehab to several, a whole bunch of college football athletes. I was soccer, basketball, you name it. And there were a few different players that, because of their injuries and because of maybe losing the fear of losing college scholarships or whatever it was, they could not take the pressure and they ended up taking their own lives. And so the mental health, I think, is so incredibly important when you're in such a high pressure field. And it, like I said, it burns you out. And whether that's the Olympics, whether that's, industry, any sort of work, we can apply this to everyone listening, is we all have these boundaries, and that it is a question, especially when you're a very driven person, to really recognize the difference between driving yourself and when that falls into harming yourself. And I hope that everyone really can learn again from her courage of coming out and look at their own lives and, where am I doing that? Where am I doing that to myself or my family? You know, I work with people who, again, are in that 60-hour work week, and I hear every day from my teams, I generally work with male-dominated, so a lot of them will be like, man, my wife's going to kill me this weekend if I don't do something with the kids. And every week I hear something like that. And it breaks my heart. And, because we are all, we just all want to do a really good job and get the job done. But it's really hard. It's really hard when you have, all of us work in corporate America where it's the bottom line. And especially with COVID going through, their bottom line is hurt with supply chain issues everywhere. They're losing money. So instead of hiring new people, you just get the people that are working for you to do more, and that helps your bottom line. But it's burning people out with the stress of COVID, and I see it all around me. I know two people that are out in short-term disability right now for mental health. So we need to wake up as a nation, and whether it's sports, it's work, everyday life, we need to start taking better care of ourselves. And as a society, we need to support people taking care of themselves. I don't know. I mean, what do you, and I know that got kind of broad, but I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, you and I have been talking for a number of months, and, you know, it's with you, it's, I have this goal, I'm going to achieve it. But obviously Simone had goals, and she told the world, I can't do it right now. To say that, to say that amongst the number of your friends, she told the world, and to tell the world, I can't do this right now, that had to be one of the most agonizing things that she could have done in her life, which, you know?
I know. And I bet the thing, I mean, I bet what she was thinking about the most is, I'm letting down my coaches. I'm letting down my team. I'm letting down my sponsors. I'm letting down my parents who supported me. And that is so heavy to weigh on a young person. And I think as we get older, it's so much easier for us to say, screw this, you know, and really know. But, man, she has got literally a nation on her shoulders. And again, I'm just in awe of her strength. You know, I think about, Everest, not getting to the summit. I knew immediately in my head, all right, I'm going to have to train another full year because I'm doing this again. And I remember my mom, when I talked to her, she's like, okay, you're not doing this again, are you? I'm like, no, I'm doing it again, Mom. She's like, okay. Mm-hmm. But she asked me, she's like, well, how many times is it going to take? And I was like, you know, that's honestly a fair question. And you think about that, because it is a good full, you need to be training. If you're doing it right, I need to be training this entire year. And it's a lot of time and effort, let alone, my God, the money and the time off of work I got to figure out. But really the effort, I'm in my 40s. I'm getting older every year. So I really do hope that I get it done this next, 2022, because I don't know how I'm going to feel about training another year. I can think I'll feel great about it now, but there will come a point where, no, I can't do it anymore, and I'll have to step away. So when I get to that point where it's a bigger risk for me to hurt myself than achieve the goal. So, it's out there.
Would you say the statement that you just made, would you say a lot of people are afraid to confront the fact that they might not be 100% ready to do this and just keep on persevering to the point where it's harmful?
Oh, I think absolutely. I think that generally human beings really do stuff catered to pressure, and we don't want to let people down. Here's a good example. I think about marriages. I think about weddings. There is so much pressure and so much activity building up, and that's like people usually take like a year to plan a wedding, and there's all these people involved. All these people are coming in from out of town. All this money is spent. And I will say I got married for a hot second in my 30s. And I remember getting close to the wedding, and I'm thinking to myself, I don't think this is right. And having that conversation with my mom, but there was so much pressure to go through with it. And I'll tell you, actually, I was in a bad spot. It was after my father had died. And honestly, I think I was trying to fill that void and kept telling myself, if I do this, I'll just be normal again. And that was my bad. Absolutely. And it woke me up. But I remember thinking, well, I guess everyone's here. We'll just go through with it. And that was ridiculous. And we did. And then we filed for divorce a month later. There's a whole bunch of other stuff that went on. But I just remember thinking that, man, everyone's here. People will be so let down. Guy will be so disappointed in me. I'll just do it. And that was stupid. But it sells us pressure. But you're right. Like, but so, you know, it exists everywhere. But for these athletes who do have so much riding on it, and for people like Everest, I saw people on that mountain. They were not ready. But they went because it's already scheduled. You already put so much money down, yada, yada. But, you know, but when we live in a culture where everything is so high pressure and we are not allowed to make mistakes, this is what happens, you know? We fold over into harming ourselves. We don't have the freedom to back out of things a lot.
So we have 2 minutes left, Megan. Your group is GRID. Tell us a little bit about GRID and how they can join in your contact information.
You're awesome. And Cynthia, you also inspired me to watch more of the Olympics. I need to do it, so I'm going to start today. But GRIT is G-G-R-I-T, and it's gratitude, growth, resilience, integrity, and tenacity. And through all of my experiences in life, I have found that these are the tools that anyone can use to overcome any challenge that you have right now and just really learn to love yourself and be good enough for yourself and live your worth. So, yeah, please contact me anytime. I talk to groups and then follow my adventures also. The next trip is Antarctica, doing the trek to the South Pole and to climb Mount Vinson this December.
And everything seems to be okay for it right now?
Yeah, Antarctica has very strict rules on COVID, and everyone must be vaccinated, which I think is critical. I think everyone, not even if you're going to Antarctica, should get vaccinated.
So are you training for that yet?
Of course I am. Yes. It is, but you know what? After Everest, I have the goal of keeping this level of fitness I'm at right now, keeping it, and then I will go to Antarctica, and then January and February, I will be in Vail training still in snow and altitude leading up to going to Everest next, at the end of next March. So, yeah, it will be here before you know it.
So, Megan, you and I will talk again. You've been listening to Megan Buchanan, and we have been talking about Simone Biles and her brave statements during the Olympics.
So brave.
I'm Cynthia Pooler. This is Women Who Inspire. And if you like this show, like us on Facebook. Megan, thank you so much, and thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye.